Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church and happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yes. So I'm not sure what Debbie's got up there. What is that? So, okay, well, are we going to do announcements or? All right. So we're glad everybody's here. And we've got the regular announcements like normal. We had a nice breakfast. If you guys, some of you missed it. I know, sorry. So do you want to go ahead and play the video? Okay. Okay.
No.
Oh.
It's projecting prayer meeting.
Oh, okay. Prayer meeting. I didn't see it back there. So, yeah, we always have a prayer meeting on Wednesday, and you can join us. So, that's on Wednesday. And the Gleaners, that's the normal, too, on Wednesday at 10:55. So, you can join us for that. And the next potluck will be May 7th, so everybody make a note in case you missed today, May 7th. All right. And Sunday school starting next Sunday at 9:30. So that's going to be really great. We're going to meet right over there in the room, the office there. So that would be really great. And the Spring Connection, you can see Donna for that. That's coming up right away, so I think you have to get things going pretty quick. By tomorrow.
If you want to go and haven't sent your registration, you can email her or call her, and she'll put you on the list that you can pay when you get there. But she has to know by tomorrow.
Okay, so things have to be done by tomorrow. All right, so let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, this wonderful day that means so much to all of us. We just pray that you be with us, be in our hearts, help us to feel the feeling of how wonderful this day really is. We thank you for a church. We thank you for your son. We thank you for being here in America where we can meet and get together and worship you. And that's why we're here. We've got to remember that's why we're here. We thank you so much for your son. And we thank you for this day. And just be with us today and help us to glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I think we've got the call to worship here in a minute. Oh, we're going to have the video. Things aren't the same on the back there, so I'm making a ton of mistakes, but that's the way it is.
Hit the video. Hit the volume.
No, TV's on.
It's not.
They're not synced, the two different images.
Okay.
shake out for you because you were.
So now it's not on here, Debbie. Okay.
Okay.
Technical difficulties. Okay. So we're not going to do it then? Okay. We're professionals here.
Got a little difference.
That's why they cast the big bucks.
Yeah.
Think about the thief on the cross. I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. Did you go get the supervisor in? So, we're just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? Guys, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer.
That was neat. That was worth it. Okay. So.
Have responsive reading. I'll lead and please follow along. The tomb is empty and darkness has lost.
We dance in the light of his resurrection.
No more do we have to fear.
No more does worry reign.
He is victorious, and so are we.
Because of his victory, we are free.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the risen Lord. Hallelujah.
All right. That was awesome. Okay, we're going to sing now. You can stand if you like.
Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, lives again our glorious King, alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, alleluia. Dying once, he often sang, alleluia. Swear thy victory, O redeeming work is done, alleluia.
Breathe.
Sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Bought with the precious blood of Christ, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever from his hand, till he is found or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Here in the power of Christ
and his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living. Sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings, but greater still the calm assurance this child can. Because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. Yeah.
dead, I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Okay, you may be seated.
Good morning and happy Easter to you all. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Absolutely. Let us take a moment to give our tithes and offerings. And if you're out there on Facebook with us, just a reminder that Tithely is available for you to support as well. Let us go to our Lord and Savior. Father God, thank you for the innumerable many blessings you give us. Not the least, your life laid down and raised up in us. Lord, thank you for that renewed life in our families, our jobs, our finances, our friends, this fellowship. We count these many blessings as we give back from our grateful hearts. Amen. You ask me how I know he lives. Anybody else ready to say he lives within my heart? Amen, right? Yeah, absolutely. Here's a chance for us to share that heart together as one family. And I'll just share that I'm praying for a safe return for Claire and for Sarah. They're on the way back from a dance competition in Pendleton. So hopefully they find the right car chargers. There's not a lot of them on that end of the 84, just letting you know. So if you think about buying an EV, don't think you're going cross country really quick and easy. Just tell you that. So the goods and the bads, right? So would anybody else like to share a praise or a prayer request with the church family? Rhonda. Those of you who've been parenting were like, careful how you say that, right? Yes.
4 hours,
right? That's normal. Yeah. So, Rhonda, I'll repeat for those on the internet out there. Rhonda is praising God for a new baby granddaughter, Grace, her daughter Christy's second daughter, and going well. The tongue tie that she was born with has been corrected, and little Grace is nursing fine. So, praise God. Anybody else? Yes, Helen. Okay. So prayer request that Helen can find a ride to her eye appointment tomorrow. If anyone here has a little bit of spare time or a lot and some good fellowship to come, please contact Helen. Absolutely. Anyone else have a prayer request? Carolyn. What was wrong with your water pressure? Oh, all right. So praise God, they found the clog in the water faucet after being able to replace half the plumbing in the house. So praise God for updated plumbing and an updated faucet. Yeah, however it happened, it has happened. Haley. That will be a good show. Lauren Daigle will be. So, absolutely. Haley's lifting up a couple praises, one for her job she's had for a couple weeks. I remember when we were praying with you for it. And for a concert with Grandma to see Lauren Daigle. She's got some good music. If you haven't listened to Lauren Daigle yet, look that up. It's going to reach your heart from the throne of grace. Absolutely. Bill. Did anybody else miss Jeremy's greeting? Walking in the door? Yeah. If there's a head usher, it's him. That's, yep, absolutely. So prayer for Jeremy, who is not feeling well with the bug that he got from Dad. And Dad, that is feeling well from the bug he gave to Jeremy. So, you know, when you're family, you share. That's the way it is. Debbie. Yeah. Yeah. So, Debbie, this is a divine appointment. Yeah. And I think I'm going to pray for your nephew because I got a feeling, right? So, Debbie is praising God that she's getting to go to ChosenCon, and that's, yep. And so you're going to have a great time with him. And yeah, like a little jealous. Yeah. Sold out by Tuesday. There was a reason you were supposed to go to the computer then. Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody else? Teresa.
A couple of things. Really, as you travel, you're back safely at the time of the town.
So prayer for Judy Hesselgesser, who is not with us today. Normally up here helps lead singing and our deacon. And prayer for safe travels back from visiting family. And prayer for your aunt's family, the Cook family. Your aunt passed away. Actually, we'll say graduated. And all the grief that comes with that, comfort for her family. Debbie. Okay. Finishing treatment. Okay. So lifting up several of our church members that are ill, not able to be here. Wink Weber, who's getting over pneumonia. And then Dan and Marie Hunley. Got to get my Dan's right, which spouse, Dan and Marie Hunley, who are getting over COVID as well right now. And Linda and Lori's mom, Kathy, getting over, is it COVID as well? Okay. And I just want to praise God myself that last Sunday I wasn't here because I was in the hospital with my father-in-law, who had a pretty significant pneumonia. And he's at home still recovering very well. So, yeah, praise God for that. His name's Lewis Carabinas. Haley. Okay. So Haley's requesting prayer for her ankle that hurts after the long day at work, that it can get better and she can keep going. Yeah. I'd like to lift up my wife, Sarah. She did something to her knee. It's been hurting lately as well. But she'll get home from her classroom. And I don't know how many of you had elementary school teachers that taught sitting down. Yeah, that doesn't happen, right? And so she also is having some trouble with her knee. And so prayer for my wife, Sarah, that her knee can heal as well. Anybody else? All right, let us pray together as one family. Father God, thank you for being God. Thank you for your justice, your mercy, your right justice, your righteousness in judging us. But thank you even more for your love. The love that sent your Son to die for us, but to conquer sin forever. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection of Christ and the presence he returned to us of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, in our hearts today, renew our minds and our thoughts for you and your great sacrifice and the love it brings us. Lord, thank you for everyone in the pews today. They are here because of that sacrifice. They are here because of that love. Whether it has driven them their whole lives or they being drawn to it. God, thank you for every soul here today. Lord, let the Holy Spirit and the love be among us right now. And let your joy permeate our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you bestow upon us and our families, jobs, to bring needed money for this existence, family, to demonstrate love and your love between us. Church family, Lord, that there is strength in this fellowship and validation in our faith. Thank you for the communities we live in. Thank you for the hearts you put in our paths to touch. Thank you for divine appointments to come and ones we have been faithful to. And Lord, as you bring people into our hearts and minds this week, Holy Spirit, give us the words to say to bring peace and comfort. And Lord, let your peace and comfort extend over those that are grieving the loss of a family member. We especially ask for your peace that passes all understanding to come to the Cook family. And for your strength and being hidden underneath your wing for Wink and for Dan and Marie and for Kathy. Lord, for my father-in-law, Lewis, as he continues to be on the mend, Lord, from illnesses that have come. Father God, we ask that you help Haley and my wife rise up as on eagle's wings. Heal her knee, heal her ankle. Yes, we believe, Holy Spirit, that you can come and just touch and heal us. Lord God, for our neighbors to the left and the right of us, let us show who you are and use words if necessary. Lord God, for our children and our grandchildren, protect their steps, make straight their paths, knock on the doors of their hearts. Take them from our family and put them in your eternal one. And Lord, we lift up all of the leaders that we have, local, state, federal. Lord God, Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of their hearts. Transform the minds of our leaders and give them the greatest wisdom that comes from you, that all may benefit. Lord, you make your rain to fall on the just and the unjust, so give your love just as sparingly, that for those of us who know it, we can show it, and those that need to, we can give it. Bring revival in this land, not just in our hearts, as this day so epitomizes, but God, bring a resurrection over our nation, over our hearts, over our families, over our minds, over our places of work. Renew, renew as only you can. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm gonna invite kids up. There's some that haven't been here before, so don't feel pressured. But we got a kids' song, so if you're used to coming up and doing it, come on up. Landon, you want to come on up and sing this song? I know you want to. And Jacob, you're invited. And kids, I don't know yet, you're invited, but you don't have to. I don't want you to feel pressured. But if you want to smile and laugh at my singing songy voice, go ahead. All right. No, I'm not doing my VeggieTale voice. Don't know. Okay. All right.
I got jokes.
Well, why don't you share it for after church? Do you save it for after church and tell people your joke?
Actually, I want to tell.
No. It's not joke time. It's song time. Can you say, God's not dead?
God's not dead.
He is alive.
He is alive.
You ready? You ready? Let's do it.
So,
God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive, and I know that he's living in me. He's living in my hands. He's living in my feet. He's living in the air. He's living everywhere. He's living at the church. He's living at the beach. And I know that he's living in me. You ready? You know this word. No, 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 God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive, and I know that he's living in me. He's living in my hands. He's living in my feet. He's living in the air. He's living everywhere. He's living at the church. He's living at the beach. And I know that he's living in me. You ready? You ready? I thought we were going to no, 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 no. Father, Lord, Father God, watch over all of our children here in Gales Creek and all of your children everywhere in the world. Make straight their paths. Protect their every step. Lead them in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And expand your kingdom in their hearts. Amen. All right, we do have children's church. So if you want to go to children's church, we're going to exit out that side and head on toward the back.
That was some good stuff. I hope the kids have good time in children's church. Thank you again for those who minister to our children. God bless you and keep you. And may your service go well today. So, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to our Resurrection Sunday service. Praise God. Thank you. A big shout out to our Resurrection Breakfast, our host, to the Scratchers. Thank you for getting everything ready. I know Sister Donna is always at work in the background. Thank you, Sister Donna. And all of those who brought something and shared and just came to fellowship together in the name of our Lord and Savior, because he is risen. This is why we come together, right? We gather because our God reigns. Jesus is alive. So thank you for being here. Thank you for celebrating with us. Now, last week we read together the Passion narrative, and we followed Jesus' journey to the cross. Remember that? He had a glorious reception just the week before. And then that very week, when it was time to celebrate Passover, the end of his time on earth had finally arrived. We saw him offer grace and forgiveness to those who didn't believe in him, those who betrayed him, those who ran away at the last second when he was spit on, when he got slapped, when he got beat up, when he was whipped, when he was mocked. He was forced to walk through the city from magistrate to magistrate, who could then determine his fate. He did all of that with love in his heart and with forgiveness. He was stripped of his clothes, which the soldiers gambled to see who would get them. And then he suffered more mocking as he hung on the cross like a common criminal. He was innocent, and yet he died. Now, he had help managing the crossbeam as he climbed the walk up to Golgotha, and then borrowed a brand new tomb in which he was buried. Remember that? But all of his followers had scattered. The women watched from a distance to make sure he really did die, and they wanted to be able to give him a proper burial, so they watched to make sure that that could happen, so that they could go and gather and mourn his loss. Now, let's continue the story, because thankfully, Sister Susie, the story doesn't end there. He doesn't just die and get buried in someone's tomb. There's more to that story. So let's read it with me. We'll continue that story in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, we're just going to focus on the very first few verses there, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation. As always, I invite you, turn to the translation that you prefer, the one that makes sense to you. But today we're going to use the New Living Translation. This is what the Word of God says. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She's talking about John. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived, and he went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, he still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Amen to God's word. May he fill our hearts and our minds and give us understanding. But first, let's say amen to the empty tomb. Amen. Hallelujah. As I said earlier, we ended last week on a negative note. Jesus was beat up. He was executed. He was completely innocent. Yet there he was, hanging between two thieves. They let Barabbas go. They knew he was a bad guy. Knew it. But they called for him to be released and Jesus to be crucified. This is the day believers around the world rejoice for God's faithfulness and for his forgiveness. And this is why we gather Sunday after Sunday to say, Happy Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. Now let's review the account. What's happening in this passage? Okay, Jesus has been buried. He's borrowing someone's tomb. And now Mary, one of his faithful disciples, comes to honor his body. So Mary gets up super early to visit the tomb to finish honoring Jesus' body. Now, when you look at the other accounts, the other gospels shared by the disciples, she's actually not alone. John focuses just on Mary arriving, but if you look at the other accounts, she's with a bunch of other Marys and some other women who come to finish the job. And so those women are with her. Now, this account doesn't explain how Mary and the other Marys plan to roll that stone that's keeping the critters out. So, you know, I just went to the Holy Land recently, and I was able to visit some of the tombs that they have. And they're actually carved into the hillside, many of them. So it's like you're going into a cave, right? They dig them out. and they roll stones in front of them because it prevents animals from going in and damaging the bodies, right? So that's why they put the stones there. It's really not to keep people out. It's to keep those animals out as they smell the rotting corpses. So, but I'll show you a picture one day. Those stones can be really big. In fact, they're usually taller than human beings. And they dig trenches so that you can actually roll the stone in the trench in order to move it easily, more easily. But depending on how large that stone was, they were still going to need some help. Like the Marys can't do it by themselves. What were they thinking? That's probably why they came in a group, though, Sister Donna. I think that's what happened. They came as a group because they could physically roll that stone. But I do have to say this. Those big stones, they don't resemble any of the marbles. Just saying, Bill. No family resemblance to the marbles. So you did have to move them. You had to work together to move them. I know, somebody's laughing. So the other people are like, marble, what? So you can imagine their shock. Because when you read the scripture, and even if you read any of the different accounts, they get up there and they're like, wait, what? We were prepared to put some sweat equity and move that stone out of the way, but it's already gone. And where's the Roman guards? They're not even there. So, of course, Mary's going to check it out for herself to make sure. Does that mean the body's gone? What the heck is happening right now? And sure enough, when she gets up to the tomb, it's empty. But how? Who would play such an awful joke on brokenhearted people? They loved Jesus. You may not know who he was. You may not have served him as the Messiah. You may not have followed him and become his disciple, but he means something very special to us. Who would do such a thing? What in the world is happening? So she goes and she looks, and he's not there. And then she goes and tells the others what's happened so they can help spread the word. And that's when Peter and John enter the scene, right? John is presumed to be quite a bit younger than Peter. So most people will say that's why he was able to foot race him and get there faster to the tomb. But the interesting thing about John, he gets to the tomb and he just peeks in. Now again, so as I've visited the tombs, and the doorways are small, so you literally do, you have to crunch down, you have to duck your head, and then you have to raise your legs to actually climb in, and then get yourself in there. And they're not very large, just enough room to turn around, take a body of the deceased, get it in there, and put them there. Now, what I read is that richer people, people who are wealthier, probably like Joseph, the man whose tomb he's borrowing, they would have a bench along with the space for the deceased. So you usually buried your family members all together, right? So you put in as they go. And this is actually what I learned in Israel. You put down a slab of wood, and you just keep piling the corpses on there until they fill the tomb. So they probably had a spot across room where the body would lay, and you could sit there and mourn. And I imagine, Mary looks in. Nobody's over there. Nobody's sitting there. What in the world? So then Peter and John come. John looks in. Yeah, there is nobody in here. Now, Peter, Peter, he's always got to be the first one to say something, do something, get in the thing, touch it, feel it, say it. So he runs. When he gets there, he's like, oh, I'm not just standing out here. He's dunking his head in. He's lifting his legs up. Let me get in here and check it out for myself. So he looks and he's like, stupefied. Like, but we saw him get crucified. He was like dead, like Lazarus dead. What is happening right now? they put Roman soldiers out here to make sure that we didn't come and steal the body. So what's happening? He's puzzled. And what I think is puzzling to me is that they still don't understand. Once the men enter, they see Jesus' wrappings, which seem to be intentionally left in place, nice and tidy. Like they folded up the head rag, they've put the other pieces that would you would wrap the body in. Again, for some of you who haven't heard this before, in the East, they don't embalm like we do here in the West. When your loved one passes away, you are immediately buried. In fact, when I was recently in the Holy Land, I was touring a church, and they brought in, they had a funeral service while I was there. The woman had died that day. It's a very quick process. They come, they clean your body. It's very ceremonial. They clean your body off, and they wrap you in linens, head to toe. You look like a mummy. And they cover you. And then they have the whatever type of procession they want to have, a ceremony, and then you go straight to the grave. So that's the same thing they did with Jesus. Joseph came, took his body, wrapped him up, but because it was about to be Sabbath, so as a Jew, you cannot work. You cannot work on Sabbath. So this is why they quickly wrapped him, put him in the tomb, rolled the stone, and then waited for Sabbath to be over, to observe Sabbath, and then come back the day after so they could finish with all of the burial rites. So you put on the spices. Remember when Jesus said, "Let her anoint me. She's come to do this to prepare me for my death," right? That's what that's all about. They come with frankincense and myrrh. They pour it on your body. They wrap you. They kiss you. They say goodbye. You're wrapped up, and they send you to be with God. So here they are in this tomb that should have a body, at least half wrapped. But there's no body. There's just the wrappings. So the end of the narrative reveals the state of the disciples' minds and hearts. Listen again to what it says in verses 8 and 9. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. Again, that's John, the beloved John. And he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. This is what I find absolutely incredible about this story. I mean, really, it is unbelievable. How could the disciples still not understand what's going on? I mean, Jesus, he came, he proved that he was the Messiah, but he also said to them numerous occasions, "I'm going to die. I'm going to go away from you for a while, but I'm going to come back. On the third day, I'll come back." So they're just like, okay, what does he mean? He's going to go be with the Father? What can?" And then you remember on one of the occasions they ask, "Well, can we go with you? We can go with you." He's like, no, you're not going to come with me, but I am going to come back. So they still didn't get it after all the things. And it's here in this moment that John is actually recorded as believing in that instant. He sees that empty tomb for himself. The wrappings are there. And it's like, this is what Jesus was talking about. Now, Mary in the other accounts inquires of a stranger where Jesus' body was moved to. And she doesn't get it until Jesus calls her name. Remember, he says, "Mary." And then she's like, "Wait, that sounds like Jesus' voice." "Wait, what?" "Yeah, it's because it's Jesus." And then in Mark, according to Mark's account, an angel reveals the meaning of the empty tomb to the women when they come. They're looking in and they're, again, puzzled. "What in the world? Is somebody trying to play a trick on us? That ain't right." And the angel's like, "Oh, honey, no. Don't look for the living among the dead. He's risen. He is risen." But still, by and large, the disciples don't understand why Jesus had to die for our sins and be resurrected. Now, if you look in Matthew, the women are on their way to tell the disciples, and Jesus appears to Mary, right? That's when she gets that understanding. But let's talk about what Jesus was trying to get them to understand to begin with. When he said he needed to die and then be resurrected. So remember, because we talked about this before, the Jews believed in the resurrection. Well, many of them did. They were split. Okay, some were like, no, there is not going to be a resurrection of the body. But others believe, yes, actually there will be. Oh, look at the scripture. It says it right there. So there was a portion who knew to expect the resurrection. They expected to be resurrected after they died. So remember the story of Lazarus? This is why Mary and Martha are looking at Jesus confused, like, what are you talking about, Jesus? Had you been here before he died, he wouldn't be dead right now. We know he's going to be resurrected. Duh. All of us Jewish people know that. We're all going to die and then one day be resurrected. And Jesus is like, yeah, no. Yes, people will be resurrected. But I'm talking about he's going to live today. They didn't know that. They were expecting the traditional resurrection when God would avenge the world for the wrongdoings and the mistreatment of Israel. And he would come and vanquish all the things and resurrect his believers. But Jesus was trying to get his disciples to understand he had to die in order to save humanity from their sin. You look back in the Old Testament scripture, God required payment in blood to forgive sin. And this is why Jesus becomes that sacrifice. His blood was shed like that of the Passover lamb. So when they gathered for Passover, you remember that story of how they got out of Egypt? That blood had to be shed so that God would pass over and save them and not kill them, not require the life of the firstborn. So this is why Jesus is that sacrifice. His blood was shed like the Passover lamb. And understand this, bloodshed meant death. So now go back to all of the sacrifices that they did. When they did a sin sacrifice, you didn't get to like use a needle and take blood out of the pigeon, the turtle dove, or the lamb, and then sprinkle it on the altar. Like, we're good. No. In order to get the blood out of those animals that you were going to sacrifice, they had to die. Because the wages of sin is death. So death and blood go together. They are not to be separated when it comes to paying for the penalty of sin. And this is why Jesus had to die. But also, Jesus had to be resurrected so he could complete the work of conquering death and sin once and for all. So when he died, he paid that blood penalty. When he was resurrected, he completed the death requirement so that no one would ever have to die again because of their sin. His resurrection means he has authority over death. He is king of everything. And so Jesus reveals himself to the disciples after his death so they can witness the completion of his work of salvation. They got to see the empty tomb, those who went and ran. Those who didn't get to see the empty tomb heard about the empty tomb because Mary, all the Marys and John and Peter came back and told the others what happened. So they were witnesses of Jesus' victory over sin and death, giving new life in Christ. And so that new life in Christ is then symbolized by resurrection itself. Are you following me? With Jesus rising again to that new life, that's what resurrection is all about. So he's not going to stay dead and just pay the price for sin. He's also going to conquer it once and for all. Rise again in new life. So the Holy Spirit who lives in us gives us that the right to know in our minds that Jesus did die for our sins. The Holy Spirit witnesses to us that we have new life in Christ Jesus. So resurrection is not just for the body on the day of judgment. This is the whole point of what Jesus was trying to say. Resurrection is for us right here, right now. Once we believe in Jesus' victory over sin through his sacrifice, we have to believe that he died for us. We are then resurrected by his Spirit to a new life in him. We walk with God in victory now, and we look forward to eternal life with him when this world is over. Amen? Hallelujah! That's what Resurrection Day is all about. It's not just, oh, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. Okay, great. That next part of that sentence is, and I am resurrected to new life in him. This is where we are empowered to live our lives for God, being witnesses just like the disciples were back then. Everywhere we are, whether we're in school, at work, you might be retired, you might be volunteering somewhere, you might be standing in line at the store. You can be a witness of who God is, because he has empowered us to live this very life for him. We don't have to wait to the life after. We have resurrection power now. And so here's the takeaway for understanding resurrection again. Jesus paid the blood and death penalty for sin. So those who believe are saved from sin. You won't have to die that second death. If you read in scripture and other places, it talks about a second death. You die here physically, but then you also die spiritually. And see, when you believe in Jesus, you don't have to die spiritually. We get to live eternally with God. When you die spiritually, you will live eternally, but it's without God. Not a good existence. Because our sin is forgiven, we are resurrected to new life in Christ and are able to live in victory over the challenges that we face daily. Somebody say daily. Day, hourly, minute by minute, all the challenges, all the things. But we have victory in those things. It doesn't always feel like it. You can't always see it. But know this, that the very spirit that was in Jesus Christ that resurrected him is the same spirit that's in you right now because you believe in Jesus Christ. The same power. We have that. We can face any challenge in our life, and we have strength to do good works for God's glory. So whatever amount of time we're here, if we're here for 20 years, if we're here for 45 years, if we're here for 110, I know, Sister Lori's like, wait, what? 110? That's a bit much. Okay, so maybe not 110. No matter how long you're here, you get to glorify God because you are empowered by his Spirit into a resurrected life, brand new life. Sister Debbie, would you mind showing this quote for us so you can follow along? There's a devotional, it's an online devotional I like to read. It's called Sacred Space. And it explains the significance of resurrection, our new life in Christ. Listen to what it says. You can read it there. Jesus is raised from death. Each time we live his way of life, we do this in our various ways of showing care and concern for the lives and troubles of others. So our life is not about us. It's about how do I care? How do I be an extension of God's grace and hands and feet in this earth right here, right now? When we do those things, when we are loving and when we are kind, when we are giving, when we are caring, when we want to step in and help lighten someone else's burden, We are showing the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. We are witnesses to that. And so we impart to the people around us, hey, there's a better way of living. There's new life in Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. So my question for us as we leave this space today, inspired by the work that Jesus has done, because he gave up his life on the cross, but didn't stay dead, remember? He came back. How can I live the good news of the resurrection this week? Not for the rest of your life, just this week. Starting tomorrow, Monday. What can I do? How can I live the good news of his resurrection? And there's some thoughts to get you primed. Identify one or two ways you can live Jesus' way of life this week. What is Jesus' way of life? Love God, love others. Simple. Love God, love others. How can you demonstrate that this week? And then who are the people God has placed in your path to show that care, to show that concern, to show that love to? Walk alongside them in their life and care about their troubles. Think about that for a minute. There's probably at least one person. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for such a glorious day. One, you have given us life in our physical bodies. We are yet here standing once again amongst our friends, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, our siblings in Christ. Thank you for the privilege. We also thank you for your holy word that shows us time and time again who you are and why we should respond to your love for us and love you back. Thank you for that. Thank you for sacrificing your son. Holy, divine, pure, righteous, sinless. And yet he subjected himself to the death of the cross. Thank you. Thank you, God, that he didn't stay dead. You were like, nope, that's not the end of the story. There's more work to be done. Thank you, God, for resurrecting Jesus. Thank you, God, that we have hope, not only for this life after this one of eternal life with you, but we have a resurrected life right now, that we can walk in your ways. We can model after Christ himself. Love God and love others. Teach us to do that, God. Teach us to do it. Help us to do it. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes it's hard. Help us to do it. Because that is what you expect from us. That is how others will know who you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In your holy name we pray it. Amen. All right. Normally on the second Sunday, we have our potluck after church and we gather together. Today we did it in reverse. We had it this morning so that families could go and enjoy and celebrate Resurrection Day together. So with that, we're going to close our service this morning. We have a song and then I'll come back with our benediction. God bless you.
You can stand and we'll sing Majesty.
Majesty. Worship his majesty. To Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority. Flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Amen, amen to the words of that song. Jesus who died, he is now glorified, King of all kings. Go now from this place, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ. Know that God is with you. Even though you leave this sanctuary, his Holy Spirit lives inside of you to empower you to love others, to continue to serve our God. Go in his peace, go in his grace, until we see each other again. God bless you. God keep you.